up your word. We invite your Holy Spirit to teach us today. Teach us, Holy Spirit. As we teach this word, you are the teacher. So we give you praise. We thank you that you are with us. We thank you you are for us. I thank you that you are speaking through me and thinking through my mind. And that as the word goes out, utterance, it will go clearly. It will go articulately. It will go straight to the point and pierce the heart of the hearer to produce the results that you intend. In Jesus' name we pray, and those who believe said amen. The book of Exodus chapter 11. For the next few weeks, as is our tradition, if you've been with us for a couple of years, what you would know is in January, what we try to do, or at least for the first few weeks, is we try and continue to unpack the word of the Lord to us in any season. I think that that is wisdom. It is important that when God speaks, one word from God is enough to sustain you for your whole life. And so whenever you hear the word of the Lord to you, pay attention to it. And one of the ways that we do that is by investing in understanding what the scripture is really saying, what God is really saying to us, and outworking that so that we align ourselves. I believe that when God speaks, it is wise to spend time with the word until you become that word. Because I believe that the intention of God, when he sends his word to us, when he speaks his word to us, God's intention goes beyond the manifestation of the promises contained in that word. And it goes really into turning you into the promise. Did you hear what I said? There is a difference. There is a difference between the manifestation and of a promise and you becoming the promise. Okay, the scripture puts it this way, that as we behold him in scripture, we are being transformed into the same image. God wants us to go beyond just receiving the promise in the scripture, but actually becoming a walking distribution center for the promise. Amen. Are you listening to me this morning? And so it is the will of God. It is the will of God that we are transformed, that we look like the word of God. We are transformed into the word. And in other words, if you're going to manifest that promise, it's going to require meditation. It's going to require us spending time with that word. And so in the book of Exodus here, is our foundational scripture. I'm going to pick up on some things and just build on this. It says in verse 6 that there shall be a great cry in all the land, such as You know, when you just get it so wrong and you try to salvage it. No, just start. Okay. It says there shall be a cry in all the land of Egypt, such as has never been, nor shall ever be again. But against any of the Gideonites. Hello, what's your name? Against any of my home, right? Against any who is attached to me. Against anyone who is my friend, anyone who is connected to me. Against any of the Israelites. There shall not so much as a dog move his tongue against man or beast. Hallelujah. I believe that the world, the turmoil that the world has seen in the last couple of years is not over. There's going to be a lot more things that is happening this year. But you've got to hear the word of the Lord in the midst of the cry, in the midst of the darkness. I want you to set your expectations, and we'll talk about expectations, because the Lord said here, he says, against my people, not even a dog will attempt to bark at them. Hallelujah. That's what the scripture is saying here. I'm reading, do you have the audacity to believe this? He says, against my people, I know that there is a wild death angel that is out there right now, but know this, against my people, not even a dog will have the audacity. Listen, if a dog has the audacity to bark at you this year, just know they are already acting illegally. Are you listening to me? If the enemy attempts to threaten you this year, Don't sit back and act like this is normal. No, no, no. It is God, this year, not even a dog is allowed to raise their voice at you. Hallelujah. I need you to know that you are protected. I need you to know that there is a way that God thinks about you that is different. Is different with you. There is a way that he is towards you. You know, there is a way that you can look at my child. Just look at my child a certain way. You are already in trouble with me. Anyone know what I mean? There is a way you can just, you might not even hurt them or touch them, but just posture yourself in a way that is threatening to them, or like you don't, that like you are already on my bad books. I know I'm a pastor and I love all people, but let me tell you something. It's different with my children. It's different with my wife. I love you, but not like that. Okay? So it's the same thing with God. He loves everyone. But let me tell you, there are his people. And let me keep reading. Here is what he says. He says, not so much as a dog. I really sense that the Lord wants us this year to recapture how special you are to him. To recapture and really bring that back into your psyche, into your consciousness. Check this out. He says, not so much as a dog will move his tongue against man or beast. Why? That you may know that the Lord, this scripture so jumped out to me when that's why I'm excited to teach it. I got this scripture like in September or November. It just really jumped out to me. And look at this. He says, that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction between the Egyptians and Israel. Someone say after me, the Lord makes a distinction between the Israelites and the Egyptians. Sometimes when I preach, I really feel sorry for anyone who's from Egypt. Because and if you're from Egypt, yeah, I'm sorry, we're not talking about you in particular. Egypt is a picture of the world. Egypt is a picture of those who are not in covenant with the living God, with Jehovah God. And the Israelites represent those who have a covenant with God. Does anyone have a covenant with God? Come on, put your hand up. Let every time you respond to this thing, you tell yourself, right? Don't think it's don't make it too much for you to respond to some of these little things, because you register. The psalmist says that my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Every time you open your mouth or you make a declaration, you write it upon your heart. I really believe that. You write it upon your heart. Amen. So look at this. Does anyone have a covenant with God? If you have, by virtue of your faith in Jesus Christ, you are brought into the new covenant. That's why the blood of Jesus, the death of Jesus, ushered us into a brand new covenant with God. And by virtue of our covenant with God, the scripture says that God wants it to be known that he makes a distinction between those who have a covenant and those who don't. Someone say after me, in this season, my eyes will see, my ears will hear, my heart will know that God makes a distinction between me and the world. Okay? This is what you've got to know. To be distinct is to be marked out. It is to be separated. It is to be distinguished. It is to be made separate. Excuse me, to be set apart. One more time, someone make this declaration. Say, my eyes will see, my ears will hear. In fact, let's not put it in the future. Let's declare, my eyes can see, my ears are hearing, my heart knows that the Lord makes a distinction between me and the world. Amen. I love what the psalmist says sometimes. He says, and my soul knows very well, right? There are some things your soul needs to know very well. And I believe this is one of those, that the Lord makes a distinction. Notice that the Lord is not going to make a distinction. He has already made a distinction. So this distinction between the Israelites and the Egyptians already exists. So what he's saying is, in the season, you will know, glory be to God, you will know. Do you know that all of heaven, all of hell knows that you are marked out, for you are different? Everywhere you go, they know. They bank on your ignorance. The devil banks on your ignorance of your knowledge of how special you are to God. He banks on you not knowing that a dog is not supposed to be barking at you. Now, I don't mean a natural dog. Now, if you want to extend it, go for it. But you know what I mean? I'm not necessarily talking about a natural dog, but I'm talking about even the smallest thing against you is in trouble with your God, because he makes a distinction. One more time, someone say, the Lord makes a distinction between me and the world. Exodus chapter 8, verse 22, he says, but on that day, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen where my people live. Glory be to God. I will deal, this is what the Lord is saying. He says, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen. Wherever you are, I declare it to be Goshen. Wherever I live, maybe you live in North London, East London, Essex, you know, wherever you live, declare that place Goshen, because the presence of God has set you apart. Anyone with me this morning? He says, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen where my people are. He says, no swarms of flies will be there. Why? So that you will know that I, the Lord, I am in this land. And I, verse 23 says, and I will make a distinction between my people and your people. And we'll talk about how the Lord does it. And one of the ways that the Lord does it is by signs and wonders. Hallelujah. And so he says, and this sign will occur tomorrow. And he goes, you can keep reading. But hear the heart of God here. He makes a distinction. Wherever you are, there is blood on your door. There is a distinction. There is a difference. The devil knows it. He's hoping to bait you out of what you of your knowledge. If the death angel wants to get to somebody who is within, who is in that door, in that house with blood on their door, what does he have to do? Bait them out. Get them to come out of that protection, or maybe make them unaware that they are protected. But this year, the Lord wants you to know that he makes a distinction. Hallelujah. One more time, raise your hand up, close your eyes. I want you to tell your soul this. Declare, say, my eye can see, my ears can hear, and my heart knows very well that the Lord makes a distinction between me and the world. I am different. Amen. Come on, say it again. I am different. Amen. Everyone might be expecting the death angel to hit their house, but tell them I'm different. I'm expecting different. Everyone might be expecting COVID to hit them, but I'm different. I'm different. I'm expecting healing in my home. Everyone might be expecting that the world is going into a recession and people are going to lose their jobs, but set your expectation. I'm different. I'm different. I live in Goshen. I'm not normal. Like I said last week, I'm not your mate. You know, I explained that. I don't want to go into that. So he says the Lord makes a distinction. He makes a distinction. Let us talk about why the Lord makes a distinction. Why are you different? This is just so layered, right? What the Lord is saying to us is so layered. I can bring it right down to you as an individual, how different he has made you, how your fingerprint is completely different, even though there are 7 billion people or however many people or even more in the world right now. Every fingerprint is different. Every eye print is different. Every voice print is different, because he has created you uniquely. Let me say it up front, just in case I forget to put this out. The Lord is calling you more than ever before to embrace your uniqueness, right? Embrace your uniqueness. This is not a time to conform. This is a time to embrace your uniqueness. Embrace what's different about you. Embrace your nose. Hello. Right? Just embrace, just smell, just take up the oxygen. I'm joking. Whatever your nose, whatever your issue is with yourself, I'm just saying that the layers in what God is saying to us is just so huge. But I'm going to look at some three reasons why you are different, why God makes a distinction between you and the world. Because I want us to align ourselves. I believe it's easier to believe the word of God, to believe God when we understand his intentions, when we understand why he is giving us an instruction. Now, understanding is not a prerequisite for faith or believing, but understanding helps, okay? Understanding should not be a prerequisite for obedience. God is God. And so when he speaks, our posture is I believe. Our posture is I obey. Understanding is the privilege of we have as people with a relationship with God. And it helps to just solidify our faith. And so I believe that the word of the Lord, or what we can do with the word of the Lord the most is believe his word, because the word of God is the grace of God. Remember, Jesus is the word and Jesus is the grace of God. So every time you embrace the grace of God, every time you choose to believe the word of God, what you actually do is like what Jesus talks about in Matthew 11. He talks about this in the Message translation, talks about the rhythms of grace. The rhythms of grace. And so what you do every time you believe with God, believe the word of God, Jesus says in Matthew 11, he says, come and walk with me. And he talks about how I will show you the rhythm of grace. Whenever you believe the word of God, it is like walking with Jesus and you are walking in grace. Right? Every time you believe the word of God, you are literally walking with Christ. You are walking in the grace of God, and your life, the best of your life, is in the grace of God. Are you listening to me? The best of your life. So that's why I congratulate you for being here. I congratulate you for joining in online. I congratulate you for paying attention, because what is happening as we teach is understanding comes. And the more understanding comes, faith rises. And the more faith rises, the more you walk in the grace of God. And the more you walk in the grace of God, the more you see the manifestations of the promises of God. And so let's talk about why does God. We're going to look at three things today if we have the time. Why does God make you different? Why is he making a distinction? Number one, expectation. If you're taking notes, write that down. Expectation. It is important that you know that God makes a distinction between Israel and Egypt because he wants your expectation to be in line with what he is doing. Okay, there might be in this scripture, in Exodus chapter 11, he was talking about, if you read the context of the scripture, he's talking about the death angel that was going through the line. You remember the final plague that hit Egypt before the people were set free. He's talking about the death angel that was flowing through the land, and it was in the context of that that God says that this is not coming near my people. What is he saying? He's setting a different expectation. In Egypt, all of them are making funeral plans. All of them are making plans to be sad. All of them are making plans to be, you know, to be upset and worried and not knowing what to do because there was a death angel. But the same Egypt, the same children of Israel, even though they were in Egypt, they had a different expectation. Their expectation was freedom. Their expectation was liberty. Their expectation was that this is not coming into our house. God makes a distinction because he wants you to have a different expectation. He makes a distinction because when you're in Goshen and you hear that there is a swarm of flies that is flying around, like he said in Exodus chapter 8, you hear that there is a swarm of flies that is a curse or that is flying around. He wants those in Goshen to understand, oh, we're in Goshen. Things are different for me. I have a different expectation. God doesn't want you having the same expectation that those who don't have a covenant have. He says at one point you were without God, you were aliens of the commonwealth of Israel, but now you who were once afar off, you have been brought near. So what is the expectation? Your expectation now is that I am near God. I am hidden under his shadow. I am under his pinions. It's different for me. I might be in the same space physically with you, but let me tell you, I'm in a different place. Are you listening to me? I am in the same place. You are looking at me in the same room. You are looking at me in the same company. You are looking at me in the same bus. You are looking at me in the same train. But the reality is my life is hidden in Christ with God. My expectation is different. If the enemy wants to get to you in Egypt, he can get straight to you. But if he wants to get to me, he would have to get through Jesus. He would have to get into God before he can get into me. He would have to contend with God if he is going to get a hold of me. You can come at me, devil, but you better hear this. You will leave here with a bruised lip because I am different. Are you listening to me? I am different. There is blood on my door. Tell somebody, tell your demons, tell the devil that I am different. Blood has been shed for me. The back of Jesus was broken for me. So sickness and disease coming near my body, you're in trouble. I'm different. Someone say, I'm different. I want you to carry this in your heart. I'm different. There is a different expectation. I don't expect sickness to come near me. And so even if I get sick, I don't expect to be overwhelmed by sickness and disease. I expect to be whole. I expect this virus to leave my body. I expect my back to work. I don't expect long COVID to hold me and my breath forever for six. No, I don't have that expectation. I expect my breath, my lungs to work. I expect the hand of God to clear out my blood. I don't expect that this diagnosis will be the end of me. I live in faith. I have a God who has given himself for me. I am different. I'm different. Come on, someone say with me, I'm different. Hallelujah. Set your expectations. Heaven knows it. Hell knows it. Do you know that you are different? Do you know the hand of God is on you? Do you know that there is blood shed for you? Do you know that the Lord surrounds you? As the hills surround Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround those who fear him. Do you know that he is your shield and your buckler? Do you know that he is the ground upon which you stand? Do you know that he is the rock that travels with you in the wilderness? And so even when people find themselves in the wilderness without water and they expect to die of thirst, we are different. We have a different conversation. Water can come out of a rock. I'm different. Someone say, I'm different. Set your expectation. Change your expectation. I'm different. You see, you might see a diplomat in the United Kingdom, a diplomat driving through town, and you want to race them, and you drive through congestion. You know, there's a lot of congestion charges. London, just breathe. There will be a charge. Okay. So there's a lot of congestion charges, and I was thinking about this the other day. A diplomat would drive through these charges, right? They might get the same brown envelope. You know that brown envelope, that lovely one. You just open DVLA. This is a present for you, right? you might get the same brown envelope, but listen, the diplomat is different. They don't get to pay that. The diplomat will show up in central London and park on a double red line. And you show up and you are begging, uncle, please don't give me a ticket, please. You never had to beg the uncle who is about to give you a ticket right now in the middle of this place. The diplomat has a D in their plate. They're different. They're not the same. The scripture says you are ambassadors. Don't make the mistake to think that just because you are in this world, that you are off this world. May the Lord open your eyes this year to recognize that even though you are in this world, you are not off this world. Your kingdom is from another world. You are ambassadors of a heavenly kingdom. You are different. So your expectation is different. Someone says in the comment section, no brown envelopes in 2022. Amen. Amen. You are different. God makes a difference between you and Egypt. He makes a distinction because he doesn't want you. He doesn't want you to have the same expectation. The same expectation as everyone else who doesn't have a covenant. Even on an individual level, listen. God expects you to set your expectation according to your difference. Right? According to your difference. He's called me to preach. He's called some other person to sing. All right? And so my expectation, I can't have the expectation that I'm going to show up and pick up the mic and I'll do it like Beyonce does it and everyone would just fall out. Because obviously she's not anointed, I am. Okay? But she's anointed, but you know what I mean. The reality is she is different to me. Her calling is different to mine. Her assignment is different to mine. So what does God expect of you? To set your expectation based on his calling upon your life. You know, many people run into trouble where because you are particularly in the age of social media where we are as connected as we are and we can see what's going on in people's lives, our expectation oftentimes is based on what we think or what we would like or what we've seen in someone else's life that we think, I'd really like that. And you set your expectation based on that. You might spend your life chasing shadows. Because God has set an expectation. He has given you certain gifts. He has created you in a unique way. He has made a difference between you and them. And the work is to invest in discovering your difference, embracing your difference, maximizing your difference, and expecting a result in line with your difference. Set your expectation right. Amen. Set your expectation right. Many people have shipwrecked their faith because they didn't understand that God made you different. Your expectation should be in line with that. And so when you chase the money, when you chase that thing that you want and the social status, more than you chase the understanding of your difference and you embrace the difference that you are in, you end up spending your life trying to be like everyone else. And let me tell you, there is nothing as exhausting as trying to be your neighbor. It's tiring. Because they do it with ease. This is why I say, you know, if you want to preach, it makes me laugh anytime any of the guys come and preach or even worship leader because I say, oh, Pastor Chief, I don't know how you do that. because you show up and it's a calling. It's there is grace for that. Yeah. There is grace and you don't have grace for everything. Yeah. Amen. You don't have grace for everything. And so you've got to understand, what is it that I am called to? What is my difference? Embrace let your neighbor shine in their lane. Stop trying to jump in. Just kind of celebrate them and say, Lord, I see what you're doing for them. Do my own for me. No, you know, don't say do that for me because you don't want that. You really don't. You don't know what comes with it. Amen. So run your lane, set your expectation according to your difference. What do you expect? What is your expectation when you come to church on a Sunday? Do you understand that this is not an entertainment venue? Do you understand that this is a meeting with the living God? Do you understand that God intends to speak to you? For he says, let those who preach speak like they are oracles of God. Do you intend to hear from God or do you want to see what jokes Cheeto has got today? Amen. And we bring the jokes. We try. Because it makes it better. Because, you know, I'm not that serious. I'm really unserious. Sometimes I listen to my message. You have to be serious. You have to really focus and teach the word. Because I have all these things going on in my mind as I'm teaching, things that I'm funny. So the things that I find very funny. So I'd open the book. Every time I open the book of Luke, I laugh. When I say look at Luke, I laugh in my mind because I find that funny. And I can be so distracted. Like now, you see, But the point I'm making is, do you set your expectation? When you show up, are you making the side thing the main thing? When you show up, what is your expectation? God has made you different. So that on a Sunday morning, you have an expectation. I'm going to hear from God. Amen. On a Sunday morning, you know, and you know it's not just Sunday mornings that we hear from God, but you know Sunday morning is a time when we gather. We have an expectation. No, I am the church. I am a part of the church. I have an expectation that I will contribute something to what God is doing in my time. I have an expectation that I am part of something bigger. I have an expectation that God is moving, that I'm not here to be entertained, that whilst God meets my felt needs, I am not a customer. Hello, church. Do you have an expectation like a customer, or do you have an expectation like a kingdom citizen? It's different. A customer is just looking for, okay, impress me today. I don't like that song they did today. Like they were singing to you. Right? They were not singing to you. Change your expectation. They were helping you. Right? Change your expectation. I don't like it, Pastor. I want him to wear suits again. No, I'm not dressing for you. These are the things I just wish he was like, you know, Benny Hini wears white suit. Pastor, you know, no. Change your expectation. What do you expect? What are your expectations? How aligned? And we laugh about these things, but the reality is many of us are wise enough not to voice them. But they continue to be the undertone that determine, I don't like this, I just feel like the spirit. You know, which spirit? Is it the spirit of the suit or the spirit of the, which one is it? Are you with me? Change your expectation. Everyone say expectation. What is your expectation, right? Do you know you are different? Do you know you are a royal priesthood? Do you know you are a holy nation? If you don't set your expectation right, you will miss what God is doing. Change your expectation, okay? I'm going to talk about the second one. I might just do two today. Purpose. God sets you apart because your purpose demands that you are set apart. He sets you apart. He makes a distinction right from the foundations of the earth. He chose the children of Israel. He is not just delivering them and putting them in Goshen and delivering them from this just for their sake. There is something global. There is something generational. There is something eternal that God was working on even in Egypt. Even in Egypt, God was working on something on a purpose. There is a purpose to your life. And so God sets you apart for a purpose. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2, he says, Acts chapter 13, verse 2, he says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called to which I have called them. There is a work to which God has called you. There is something to which God has called you. He says, then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. This year, one of the things God wants to do is to restrain you in order to release you. I'll say it again. He's going to restrain you in order to release you. In the book of Exodus chapter 32, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and he has just received the commandments from God, and he comes down and he hears this ruckus, he hears this party going on. And Joshua is saying, this sounds like the sound of rejoicing. And Moses says, no, this sounds like something else. It doesn't sound like the sound of rejoicing. And the Bible says, when Moses came down, I think it's around verse 8, he says, when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, he saw that Aaron had left the people unrestrained and they had made for themselves a golden calf. He says what they did, he then stands in the next verse and says, those who are on the Lord's side, come over here. Those who are on the Lord's side, come over here. Because one of the things that the Lord will do When he shows up and everything has been okay with you, you've been unrestrained, you've been, you know, dabbling in everything, the Lord is going to pull you back to himself. He's going to call you to himself. Listen carefully. The purpose of your life, the purpose of God over your life, means that even though everything is permissible to you, you are not allowed to do everything. I'll say it again. Even though you are, but legally speaking, your sins have been forgiven. Legally speaking, God is not angry with you. He will never be angry with you. Legally speaking, your name is written in the book, in the Lamb's Book of Life, because of the finished work of Jesus. Let me tell you something. Your purpose still demands that you are exempt from certain things. There are certain ways that the world lives that because of the hand of God upon your life, because of the purpose of God over your life, that you are different. I don't go to the clubs on Saturday night. I'm different. I don't go not because I hate the club. I probably do right now. But not because, you know, of anything. Not because God is going to clobber me if I go. No, it's because I have a purpose over my life. And so I can't be backing it up on Saturday night and then releasing the anointing on Sunday morning. Are you listening to me? My purpose demands that I am separated. My purpose demands that I am different. My purpose demands that I don't go everywhere. My purpose demands I don't hang with everyone. There is a purpose over your life. Hallelujah. Listen, Christian, let me bring back this old word. Holiness, it is a word that means set apart, and we will look at that this year. I'm going to teach on that this year. It is a word, it doesn't mean uglification, it doesn't mean religious nonsense. It means set apart. It means set apart. It means separated. You have been separated. You know, in the Old Testament, there used to be, it's a voluntary, and I think it's a type of what, you know, anyway, I'll leave that alone. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, the Nazarite vow, right? I think you'll find in Numbers 21, but just search it. I think Numbers 21, you find details of the Nazarite vow. Forgive me if I got that wrong. But in the book of, there is this vow. It's usually lasting for about 30 days. You can do it longer. The people were invited to take a Nazarite vow. And it just means that in that time, for a particular purpose, for a particular season, you exempt yourself from certain things. You give yourself. And there were some people who their whole life, so people like Samson took the Nazarite vow. And it just meant that he didn't cut his hair, he wouldn't touch a dead thing, all of those kinds of things. But for him, it was a lifetime thing. Samuel was also another example. Samuel, remember Samuel? His mother prayed and asked God for a baby. And one of the things she said is, when I get the child, I will hand him over to you. So when the baby was born, when Samuel was born, when he had finished weaning him, he was able to eat. The moment he was now able to eat by himself and didn't need breast milk anymore, she took the baby and she took him to the temple. Think about Samuel for a second. Samuel at 7, Samuel at 6, Samuel at 13, Samuel at 14, he's living in the temple, learning to hear the voice of God. I imagine all his friends playing out, doing all the things that they're doing, right? Hanging out and just living their lives. But Samuel is in the temple. I wonder if some of us will value the call of God over our lives so much so that we say, even though I can do that if I want and I know God still loves me, I'm setting myself apart from that because I have a purpose over my life. Hello, young people. How about this is that year where you stop trying to be like every other young person around you, where you accept that I might be 13, I might be 14, I might be interested in all of these things, but I'm different. The hand of God is upon me, and that's okay. Hello, church. How about we stop apologizing for tithing? How about we stop apologizing for being in church? How about we stop apologizing for being Christians? Because there is a purpose of our life. Let me tell you, the salvation of this world depends on us being who God has called us to be. There is a purpose over our lives that is so profound. What would have happened if Samuel decided that, listen, I'm 13, I'm 18 now, I don't need to be in the temple. I'm gonna go do what I want. I'm gonna go out of the world. Would he have led and brought about David? Would he have been participated in the history of what God is doing? Would he have played a part, a significant part? The scripture talks about how there was no prophet like Samuel. None like him. He was set apart. God was prepared not for them not to have a king. He was prepared not for Samuel to be the king, but he was so prepared to just speak to Samuel, and Samuel speaks to them. But the people wanted to be so much like everyone around, and they said, give us a king too. I pray this year the purpose of God will come alive in your heart. That this year the Lord will burn. There will be a fire burning in your heart for the purpose of God. So much so that you know that even though I can drink that, even though I can go there, even though I can dress like that, even though God is not judging me, even though his hand is upon me, I am a royal priesthood. I am a holy nation. I am set apart. There is something different about me. There is something different. There is a calling on my life. Are you listening to me? God will say to them, come out from among them. He will tell his people as they travel through the lands, as they travel through the different lands on their way to the promised land, he will tell them, don't marry the unbelievers that are there. He will tell them, don't worship their gods. God is not racist. Which is what some people do say against God, that is racism when God says, oh, you shouldn't mix. No, he's giving you a point. He's trying to tell you, what does darkness and light have together? One of my friends puts it this way, a dog and a bird can get married, but where will they live? When the scripture says, do not be unequally yoked, it's not about discrimination. It's about purpose. It's about where you're going. It's about what God is calling you to do. Are you listening? God is setting you apart. Hallelujah. He is setting you apart. He has set you apart. I pray that this year you will embrace your purpose. There is a purpose over your life. It's okay to wake up in the morning and pray. Hello. It's okay to spend time to tell your friends, I can't come out because I'm praying. It's okay to say, and you know, you can decide to get religious. That's the other side, where we get legalistic and religious and judge everyone about that is not doing what you're doing. We'll talk about that. But what I'm saying is there is something special in Scripture. It's okay for us to own it, to own our calling, to own the hand of God, to own the purpose of God, to say, no, I'm different, to just accept, no, it's different for me. But I got to pray. I've got to spend time in the Word. I've got to, give myself for something. Because you are different. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are his own special people. Hallelujah. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We'll talk about this next week. But one of the reasons it's important you embrace your purpose is because God makes you distinct, because he wants to use your story to tell of his glory. Amen. God sets you apart because he wants to use your story to tell of his glory. But this week, I want you to focus on these two. Change your expectation. I want you to engage with your purpose. Understand that you are no ordinary person. Hello, Samuel. I know it seems difficult right now, but you are no ordinary person. Samson, I know all your friends are having a certain kind of hairstyle right now, but the reality is you can't cut your hair. For you, it's different. And that has to be okay. Amen. There will be some things that will be different for you that is okay with me. There will be some things that there's some things that God just won't let me do. You know, and it's because of where he's taking us. And I pray that this year we will embrace those differences. Lord, we just receive the grace right now. We receive the grace to embrace our differences. We receive the grace to embrace what you are calling us to. We accept the invitation to be separated unto you for the work that you have called us to. In Jesus' name we pray. And those who believe said amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. We'll pick this up next week, so come along next week as we continue to unpack about 6 or 7 things I want to share with you. I just shared 2 today. We'll pick it up next week. Let's bring our best gift. Let's bring our tithes. Let's bring our offerings.